Good morning. I'm sure you guys are looking, going, what happened? Let me deal with that first. Kate did not hit me. She's not this strong. I still think I'm about 25, and I started playing softball again. And a routine play, the ball bounced and nailed me right in the face. So that is why I look like this today. Kate was like, keep the mask on. Don't let people see. But I figure rather than people going, I wonder what he looks like under that mask, I figure it'd be better to at least show it. And then I think the camera, you guys can't see my face. So I think that was on purpose. So the camera, people at home, if you want to see what I look like, you need to come in and see it in person. Let's pray and continue. Father, we thank you. We thank you that you are with us, that you are working in our midst, and that you love us and care for us. And Lord, that you are with us every step of the way. So Lord, as we come to worship you, we ask that you would speak to us, that you open up our hearts and our minds and our ears and our eyes to you and to what you are doing, that we may be able to follow you, Lord, even though sometimes we don't understand you, that we may be able to step out in faith and in boldness, knowing that you are with us every step of the way. So Lord, I ask that you would speak, that you would speak through me, that you would give me the words to speak, and that what comes out of my mouth would be pleasing and glorifying to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Several years ago, a couple of friends of mine went to Hawaii for their holidays. And before they left, they asked me what I wanted them to bring back for me from Hawaii. And without batting an eye, I was still single, this was years ago, I asked them to bring me back a nice Hawaiian girl. They laughed. Yeah, whatever. Not yet. They laughed and they went on their trip. And a few weeks later, I got a call from them. They were back. They had come back from Hawaii and they had a gift for me. I thought like it was going to be coconut or like pineapple or something like that. Little did I know that they had actually brought me back a Hawaiian girl as a gift. It wasn't the Hawaiian girl that I had been hoping for. When I asked for a Hawaiian girl, I was thinking of a living, breathing female, five feet and up, not more than 5'7". Maybe a hula dancer with a nice tan. But the girl they brought me was about 6 inches tall. You can throw up. She was a hula doll dancer. You can put up the picture. It wasn't this one, but it looked similar to this. They had brought me back this Hawaiian girl doll plastic toy. I had asked for a Hawaiian girl. I wasn't specific in what kind of Hawaiian girl. I just asked for a Hawaiian girl. And they took the time, the effort, the energy to think about, what can we do? And they had come up with the idea of bring back a Hawaiian doll girl for me. At that point in time, I didn't appreciate it. I had asked for a Hawaiian girl about this tall, yeah? They had brought me one about this tall, and I didn't appreciate it because it wasn't what I was expecting. It wasn't what I had hoped for or what I had asked for. And because it wasn't what I was expecting, I really had trouble appreciating the gift. I had trouble appreciating the thought and the effort that my friends had put into it. They had to have thought about how can we honor what Sam asked for, but at the same time not be really bad. And so they had spent the time to think about what to get me, and they had spent the time to go out and get this doll for me and bring it back. And at that point in time, I didn't realize how much of an effort that they had made, because it wasn't what I was expecting or hoping for. The Israelites are in a similar boat, or were in a similar boat. They had been asking God for something, or more accurately, they had been asking God for someone. They had been praying and asking God for a savior. Their land had been occupied by the Romans for years, and they had been begging God to bring them, to send them a savior. Someone who would lead them out from under the oppression of the Romans. They were praying and waiting for a savior who was a warrior, a mighty warrior, a great leader who would gather the people around him and lead the Israelites into war against the Romans. Probably a guy who was riding on a mighty horse, carrying a mighty sword. Someone who could lead them to victory. They were waiting for a Savior who would fight for them and fight with them. This is what they had been praying for and waiting for. And verse 24 tells us, the Jews who were there gathered around him saying, how long will you keep us in suspense? Are you the Messiah? Tell us plainly. They wanted to know if Jesus was the Savior they had been waiting for, the one they had been praying so diligently for. The thing is, the Savior that Jesus is the Savior. Jesus is the Savior they had been waiting for. He is the one they had been praying for. Yet they didn't see it. They didn't recognize it. The Savior right before their eyes, and they're asking him, are you the one? Are you the one we've been waiting for? He's right before them, talking to them, looking at them. But he wasn't who they were expecting. They weren't expecting the son of a carpenter. They weren't expecting someone from Nazareth. Can anything good come from Nazareth? They were expecting a mighty warrior. Someone who rode in on a horse carrying a sword. Someone who could rally everyone around him. Someone probably so charismatic and so catching that everybody would just be drawn to him. They were expecting a king, strong and powerful. Someone who could gather together a massive army to lead them to victory over the Romans. And because of their expectations, even though they got the Savior they had been asking and praying for, they couldn't recognize him even 5 feet in front of them. They couldn't see that the man in front of them was the very Savior they had in fact been praying and asking for all of this time. They had their Savior right in front of their eyes, and they don't believe it. This can't be the Savior. This can't be the guy we've been praying for. He looks nothing like we had imagined or expected. They should have known who Jesus was or is from what he did and what he said. But still, they don't believe. Verse 25 and 26 says, Jesus answered, I did tell you, but you do not believe me. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. The things that Jesus said, the things that Jesus did, that was the proof. That was all they needed to see. That should be all they needed to believe that Jesus is the Savior that they had been praying for. Yet he's not what they were expecting. He's not what they were hoping for. He doesn't look like the charismatic leader they wanted. And so they want more proof. They want Jesus to answer them directly. Are you the Savior? Are you the one we're waiting for? They want proof. But they have that proof. They have that proof in abundance. Jesus' miracles, Jesus' healings, Jesus' teachings, casting out demons, healing people. The things that he was teaching them, that's all proof. They saw and heard all of this proof with their very own eyes and ears. But they still didn't believe because Jesus isn't what they were waiting for, what they were hoping for. Jesus even says to them flat out, he's the Savior. And they still don't believe it. Why ask if you're not going to believe his answer? They couldn't wrap their heads around the fact that the Messiah, the one that they got, was not the one they wanted, but the one they needed. They wanted a mighty warrior to lead them to battle. We got God in the flesh, who defeated sin and death. They wanted a man of power who could destroy the Romans and free them from oppression. We got God in humility, born in a manger. They wanted a king to rule them and lead them. We got the son of a carpenter. Talk about not meeting the expectations. They want someone like this. They got the son of a carpenter. And because they didn't get what they were praying for and waiting for, They couldn't accept the Savior that we all need, the Savior that we got. And because Jesus didn't match their expectations, they couldn't believe that Jesus would be the Savior of the world. In fact, they thought this is some con man, some blasphemer. So they actually want to kill him. The Savior they've been waiting and praying for, they now want to kill him because they think he's a blasphemer. Verse 31 says, again, his Jewish opponents picked up stones to stone him. The son of a carpenter isn't the Savior. He's a liar. He's a cheat. We need to kill him. Verse 33, the crowd responds to Jesus by saying, we're not stoning you for any good work, they replied, but for blasphemy, because you, a mere man, claim to be God. Do you see the irony of all this? They wanted a man. They wanted a man, mighty, powerful, big, ripped, whatever, muscular. But they wanted a man nonetheless. We got God in the flesh. We got so much more than they wanted, so much more than they deserved, so much more than they hoped for. We got God in the flesh, not just some man, but God with us, Emmanuel. And they don't realize it. And they're not happy about it. They want to kill him because that's not what they wanted. They want a man. They want a good man. But they don't want God. How often have we thought like that? We want a man we can follow. We want someone we can trust. We know someone who's righteous, whose words we can believe. Instead of saying, we want God. We want God who died on the cross for us. So I think about the Israelites and how much they missed out on because Jesus didn't match their expectations. And I wonder how much of God we miss out on because God works differently than our expectations of him. I wonder if when we complain about not seeing Jesus at work in our lives, if it's not because Jesus isn't actually working, but because Jesus is working differently than the way we expect Jesus to work in our lives. I wonder if we don't notice because Jesus is actually doing something, but we expect Jesus to do things this way, and because he's not doing it this way, we don't recognize him doing things the way that Jesus is doing things. And I wonder if we miss Jesus at work in our lives because we're expecting to hear Jesus speak audibly to us. We want God to say, Sam, do this. And so we're waiting, like, God, why aren't you speaking? And instead of realizing that Jesus is actually speaking to us through Scripture and through wiser, more mature Christians, through our brothers and sisters in Christ, because we're waiting for God to say, Sam, do this. We miss God speaking to us through his word and through the people around us. I wonder if we expect Jesus to open up the heavens and to remove all the difficulties and hardships in our lives. And then when things become difficult and hard for us, we get frustrated that we're not seeing Jesus take away those hardships. When in reality, Jesus isn't removing the hardships, not because he's mad at us or anything like that, but because he wants to walk with us during those hardships. I wonder if our expectations of how Jesus works are hindering us from recognizing Jesus at work in our lives around us. I wonder if we don't realize what Jesus is doing or appreciate what he's doing because it's not what we're wanting or what we're expecting. We want Jesus to do this. Take away all the trouble, take away all our pain and frustration and all the hardships. We want Jesus to speak to us audibly. We want Jesus to answer our prayers in a manner that's right before us, like flashing lights before us saying, you need to do this. And when Jesus doesn't do that, I wonder if we get upset because we've put Jesus into this little box and he's not acting the way we want him to. I wonder if we get upset at Jesus because we pray for the healing of loved ones, but instead of God healing them physically, Jesus does something else. And we don't appreciate it because we are so set on that physical healing that we'd been praying for instead. I think I've said this before. I remember when my mom was sick. I was living in Vancouver, but I would go home. I went home for Christmas. And as I was about to come back, the day before I was supposed to come back to Vancouver, my mom got sick and we had to take her to the hospital. And so I delayed my trip and I stayed an extra 2 weeks to be at home with my mom. And I saw her, stayed with her until she came back out of the hospital, got home, and then came back. And then a little bit later, about a month or so later, she went back to the hospital. So I flew back and I was there. And then she got out of the hospital. And then the day before I was supposed to leave again, she got sick and had to go back to the hospital. And I remember having this conversation with my sister, wondering if my mom was kind of acting up or getting sick because she didn't want me to leave. And it was after she passed away, I realized it wasn't that. We were all praying for her healing. It wasn't that my mom was getting sick so that I wouldn't leave. I realized God was giving me and my sister time with my mom that we didn't have. Both my sister and I had moved away for school, and both my sister and I went into ministry, and we haven't lived with our parents since we left for school. And so God was giving us time that we didn't have with her. That every time she got sick before we were supposed to leave, it was God giving us extra time with her. And I started to realize God's working in so many ways that we don't recognize or see. But we want God to work in a certain way. We wanted God to heal my mom, and he didn't. But instead, he gave us time with her before she passed away. And I wonder how many times we miss God at work because we're expecting God to do things a certain way, and he's doing things a different way. I wonder how many times our expectations of how God should work get in the way of us recognizing God at work in our lives. But I also wonder how different things would have been if the Israelites had gotten what they had wanted. What if they got a warrior who led them against the Romans? What if they got a warrior who got them freedom from Roman oppression? What if they actually got what they wanted and they got a man instead of God in the flesh? How long do you think they would have been thankful to God? How long do you think they would have been happy that they were free from the Romans before they started complaining again? How long do you think they would have been happy that, yes, this is what we wanted, before they started picking out all the problems with, you know, we thought this is the guy we wanted, but he's not acting the way we want him to. You know, we thought this is the guy we wanted, but his theology is a little bit off. You know, we thought this is the guy we wanted, but he doesn't, like, kiss the babies and shake the hands of everyone. And I wonder if they had actually gotten what they had wanted, how long it would be before they started complaining and turned on God again, saying, we want something else. How long would they have enjoyed the freedom before another nation came in and took them over, and then they started complaining to God again? God, how could you let this happen? I wonder if they got what they wanted. Maybe they would have gotten some temporary freedom. They might have gotten some relief from their oppressors, but for how long? How long would it be before they're complaining about something else to God? And I wonder, what about us? What if we got the things that we want from God? What if when we pray, God actually answers our prayers the way we want Him to answer them? What if when we're trying to make a decision, we're not sure what to do, and we say, God, speak to me. I want to hear your voice, or give me some like huge sign. And God actually speaks to us audibly and says, Sam, do this. I wonder how long it would be before we start questioning. Was that really God's voice we heard? How do I know that was God speaking, not just my mind going crazy or my stomach growling? I wonder how long would it be before we start ignoring God's audible voice because we didn't like what God's audible voice actually says to us. How long before we say, God, I don't want to hear your audible voice anymore because I don't want you to tell me that I need to love my neighbors, that I need to forgive my enemies. I wonder if God actually answers our prayers the way we want Him to, how long it would be before we start getting upset at Him or start ignoring Him or start complaining about something else, start complaining about the way He's answering our prayers. Or what if God healed everyone we prayed for? What if everyone we prayed a prayer for physical healing, God actually healed? How long do you think it would be before we start taking God for granted? And instead of praying to God because we love God and want to know God, but we start treating God like a genie in the bottle. God, so-and-so is sick. Make them well. I'm not rubbing someone's bald head. It's supposed to be a genie in a bottle. How long before we're saying, God, so-and-so is sick, and we ignore God the rest of the time, and we only turn to God when somebody is sick, saying, God, so-and-so is sick, make them well. And how long before we stop seeing God's healings as miracles and start taking God for granted as this is something God should be doing for us? God doesn't always give us what we want because God knows what we need is often a lot, is very different from what we want. We want things, and we want them quickly. We don't always care if they are temporary things sometimes. We want things, whether it's healing, whether it's audible voice. We want things. But God knows we don't need things. God knows that we need God Himself. And that's exactly what God did when He gave us Jesus. When the Savior of the world came, God in the flesh, God with us, Emmanuel. Not something, not someone, but God Himself with us. God gave us so much more than what we want because God gave Himself, the one we need. And just like I didn't appreciate the Hawaiian girl or my friends who got her for me because it wasn't what I was expecting, the Jews didn't appreciate Jesus, the Savior of the world, the one that they had been praying for, the one that they had been waiting for because He wasn't who they were expecting. And I wonder how often we don't appreciate God because the way God works is so very different from the way that we're expecting. I think about getting hit with the softball. It wasn't fun. And I think about 1 inch to the left. 1 inch to the left, and my nose would have been broken. 1 inch down and to the left, my teeth would have been shattered. Maybe my eyes are too small and it wouldn't have bothered my eyes. But like half an inch up and who knows, I might be blind. And I could have sat there going, God, why? Why is this happening? Why would you allow this to happen to me? Like I got to preach today, stand up in front of everyone and with this mangled face, everyone's staring at me. Why would you let this happen to me? I could do that. But I choose to say, God, thank you. Thank you that it hit this hard head of mine that survived this hit instead of my nose, instead of taking out my teeth, instead of taking out my eye. Thank you for protecting me that it hit right here. And so I've got a bruise and I look a little bit funny and my lip's not working properly right now, but it's so much better than it could have been. I don't know why I got hit. It was a routine play that I've made hundreds, if not thousands of times, yet some reason I missed it and it hit me flush in the face. I don't know why. Maybe I won't know why this side of heaven. But I thank Jesus that he was there to protect me and not make it worse. We don't know how God works a lot of the times. We don't know what God is going to do a lot of the times. But don't let your expectations hinder you from seeing how God is at work. Don't let your ideas of what God should be doing and how God should be doing things hinder you from seeing how God is at work in your life and in the lives around you. Don't fall into the temptation of thinking God's not doing anything because God's not answering me the way I want him to answer me. Because God is doing something. God is working always in our lives. We may not recognize it, but that's not because God's not working. It's because we don't recognize it. Whether we don't recognize it because we want him to do something else, or we don't recognize it because we don't know his voice well enough yet, it's not that God is not working. God is always at work. We don't recognize when God is at work. And maybe it's because our expectations of how God works are so screwed up that we miss how God is working all around us. God is at work. Don't let your expectations, don't let your preconceived notions of what God should be doing prevent you or hinder you from seeing God at work. Because he's at work always around us. The Israelites, a lot of them never realized that that was the Savior that they had been waiting for, that was the Savior they had been praying for. I hope and I pray that we're not as blind as the Israelites were, that we can see and recognize God at work in our lives because we're able to say, God, I want you. I don't want something else. I don't want your gifts. I don't want your healings. I want you more than anything else. And I hope that we are able to recognize God at work around us in spite of our expectations of what God should be doing. Because God is at work. God is doing something. And if we sit and wait and say, you have to do it this way and refuse to recognize God until he does, it's us who's missing out. So I hope and I pray that our expectations will not hinder us from seeing God. Let's pray. Lord, it's not always easy to wait upon you, to wait upon your timing, to wait upon your ways. So often we want things done our way. So often we want things done quickly in our timing. But Lord, deep down inside, we know that your ways, your timing is so much better than our ways or our timing. Deep down inside, we know that what we need is so different from what we want, that you are what we need. So Lord, help us to get in line with you, to be able to be okay with your timing, to be okay with your ways, to recognize that we need you more than the things that we want. And help us, Lord, help us to see how you are at work. Help us to be able to say, Lord, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know what's going on. I want these things to happen, but if these aren't what you want for me, help me to be okay with that. And help me to wait upon you and help me to recognize how you are working in my life. Help us to be able to say, Lord, I don't know, but I choose to follow you even when I don't know. Help us to recognize, Lord, that you are the one that we need. Not your gifts, not your healings, nothing else but you. You alone are the one that we need, Lord. And help us to be content with you. To not seek other things, to not seek people or praise or things, but to seek you and you alone, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.